I'll wait for you to take a seat, please. Please take a seat. Come on, I gotta start the show. Please sit down.
God, you people are annoying.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I think that's what's going to be on my gravestone.
Whatever.
You people were annoying. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Here lies Ron Van Dam, surrounded by annoying people. That's it. That's what it'll say. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's whatever.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good, that's fine. Don't even answer. I can't hear you, no matter how loud you may yell. I'm not an Alexa thing, you know. Alexa things. I have a couple of Alexa things in my house. She's becoming quite annoying. I'm starting to wonder if she's not eavesdropping on everything that I do. Sometimes I'll just say something in random, like, what's for dinner? And Alexa will say, I'm sorry, I don't know that. Like, I didn't ask you. God, you're worse than an annoying spouse. God, just play music and shut up. Maybe I'll ask you to turn a light on here and there, but even then, I think I can handle that myself. Remember that invention, the clapper, clap on, clap off, the clapper, which was annoying because I knew some people that actually had the clap, which is a disease, kind of different than this. But apparently when you clapped your hands, a light would go on and you clap it again, the lights go off. Stupidest invention, but some people had them. I never had that thing. Now we've gone the next generation where you have this Alexa thing, and there's a Google version as well, and you say, Alexa, turn on the light, and she does it, and I'm just wondering, how far does that go? You know? Alexa, make erotic sexual sounds. I mean, just... Where is this going?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Oh, she just answered me. She said, sorry, I'm not sure. See, you can't say her name without her responding and collecting information. And that any every question you ask Alexa and every answer is cataloged online. Did you know that? I think you did if you had that thing. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to talk about that. I got a question for you, and it's very important.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Here's an article of clothing that I still can't grasp. And they're called flip-flops. And here's the problem. These are like sandals that don't completely attach to your feet. And, they're aptly named because they flip and they flop. Actually, you flip and flop onto the ground because these quote-unquote foot accessories don't exactly stay on your foot. Up around the toe area, they're secured by your toes. But in the back, they flip and they flop. And I'm wondering how this shoe was even invented, because I would just sue the flip-flop company. I brought your shoes. I put them on. I fell down immediately. I'm suing. They're not made properly. They cause accident. They do. They're awful. Why would somebody buy things to put on their feet that don't stay on it, and then you trip over the very shoe that you have on your foot? A flip-flop? It's even named dangerously. They should name it the fall down and die shoe. It's weird. I think it's Donald Trump that invented the flip-flop, but not the shoe version. As you know, the two dictators, Kim Jong-un from North Korea and Donald Trump, the dictator from America, sat down and signed what looked like to be somewhat of a de-escalation peace agreement. Actually, what they signed was a two-year contract for Infinity Comcast cable services. That's really what they signed. And they get a free flip phone, a free flip-flop phone. Do you have a flip phone? I saw a guy yesterday. He was only 40 years old and he had a flip phone, which are phones that really aren't in existence anymore. There are some, and they still sell some, but people who, no, you can't. You cannot use a flip phone anymore. People actually stare at you and say, "Ooh, what planet are you from?" That phone is from 1927. I've told this story before. I'm old enough to remember when car phones first came out. They called them bag phones or car cell phones. And I thought it was the coolest thing that you could actually make a phone call from your automobile. I thought that was extraordinary. I thought, my God, it's the space age. The space age has actually arrived. I can make phone calls from my car. Yes. I thought that was phenomenal. And now that was archaic. The phones were huge. They were the size of military service field phones. They were like portable pay phones. They were huge. By the way, when's the last time you saw a pay phone anywhere, huh? God, things have changed. Thank goodness I don't sleep more than 6 hours, because by the time I would wake up, if I slept even longer, the entire technological cell phone industry would have changed by the time I wake up in the morning. It's amazing. Here's the one thing that the cell phone industry has not been able to do, and I don't understand it. The cell phones are little computers that work just about anywhere, unless you have AT&T. You get no bars. You stop in and have drinks at plenty of bars, but on your phone you get no bars. And T-Mobile also, you have to be in the middle of a cell phone tower in order to get any reception. I exaggerate. I don't know. Depends on where you are. But anyway, here's the one problem with cell phones that they have not solved in the least, and I don't know why not. And that's cell phone batteries. They must last longer than what they do last. It's not proper. You should be able to have your cell phone on all day and never have to recharge your battery for 6 years. No, I'm serious. Well, batteries have not advanced. We should be able to run our house off of batteries in case there's a power outage. You should be able to run many appliances off of batteries. Batteries by now should be extremely powerful and long-lasting, but they're not. I don't even think, if I turned on my flashlight, I think it would die within like maybe 23 minutes. Someone needs to come up with the better battery. If you can come up with a better mousetrap, and I don't have mice, and I don't know anybody that really does, and I don't think they're going crazy, I'm going to kill myself if I can't find a better mousetrap. How about doing one of two things? making cancer a thing of the past, cure that thing, all bad cell diseases I'm talking about. And then speaking of cells, create a cell, a battery cell, that lasts for a long time that you can run any appliance off of in case you have a power outage. Or maybe you're not near an electrical outlet. Or someday, as you probably realize, we will have a cyber attack from North Korea or China or Russia for sure. All they have to do is just hack into any of our power grids or our water systems or anything like that. Power grids would be a horrible thing. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And when it does, you're going to need a good battery. You're going to have to live off of that battery for a period of time. So let's get to it, man. Instead of listening to stupid shows like this, go into your laboratory and invent stuff. What am I paying you for? Start doing something with your life. Out of the entire world, we can't find intelligent people to solve all the problems that I'm coming up with. Come on. You're embarrassing yourself. So I ask you, what are you wearing? Flip-flops?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Thanks for listening, by the way. You don't get anything for listening. You don't even get a free donut. If you're a senior, you can get like 10% off on a donut from most donut shops. But other than that, nothing's going to happen here. You can listen to us every single weekday. We do a brand new show. There are thousands of them available on the Podbean Network. That's where this is all housed. That's the Podbean Network, the Ron Van Dam Show. Or you can go to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Amazon Alexa app, SoundCloud. We're on YouTube every single day. Every show is posted immediately to YouTube every single day. And other fashionable outlet stores. So, thank you. This year, I am plagued by allergies. Outside, when I get into my car, I see a thin layer of pollen all over my car, this yellowish-green powdery thing. It's like psychedelic cocaine all over my car. And it makes me sneeze, and it makes me feel cloudy, and I'm not happy about it. So, let's recap. Cure cancer. Do that first. Quickly, please. Somehow enhance the durability and time frame on a regular battery or a cell battery. And the flip-flop thing, by the way. The flip-flop thing is really not working out. And anything else I can come up with, do it immediately. Solve my problems. There's a bee here. Oh, and pollen. Get rid of the pollen. There's a bee in my studio right now buzzing around. It's not buzzing around my head, otherwise I'd be screaming like a schoolgirl. And you know how they could scream. Actually, schoolboys scream too, not like a schoolgirl. It's very odd. Here's what I want to tell kids. Kids that are like 5 years old or 4 years old who run around the playground screaming. Be very careful, because someday somebody may approach you or you may really hurt yourself and you're going to scream for help. And people are just going to say, that could just be a kid playing in the play yard. They're not really in trouble. So save your screaming for horrible situations, not because you're having fun. No one screams when they're having fun. That's just stupid. Stop it. Having fun is like, wee, or yay. It's not screaming at the top of your lungs like you're being stabbed, okay? Stop that. We did talk about inventing a longer-lasting, more powerful battery that we can run actual appliances off of. There's no reason why we can't invent something like, well, not me. I just said we. I'm not going to do it. I'm busy drinking. For you, those of you that don't drink alcoholic beverages, you should be the ones to invent stuff. You be the designator inventor. The designated inventor, I meant to say, but obviously didn't come out right. But speaking of batteries, we're going to talk about that because hurricane season has just started. Fantastic, isn't it? Hurricanes can pop up. And of course, because of global warming or climate change, whatever you want to call the damn thing, the storms are more intense. Don't argue with me. They are. Don't argue. So you have to prepare for things. Otherwise, you get caught off guard and you suffer accordingly. So we're going to talk about being prepared for storms. It's important, and we're going to do that pretty soon. Pretty soon. And you will enjoy it. But first, before we do that, we have a short commercial break. Are you having a party? There are a lot of parties in the summer. You know, people have parties over at their houses, and they have a lot of fun. But let's face it, you don't know how to run a decent party. You don't know what the hell you're doing. So you need an expert to be able to guide you through that very, very difficult process.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, oh, look at the time? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How about you?
I'm great. Brad Kaiserman joins us now. He's American Red Cross Vice President of Disaster Operations and Logistics, and we're talking about preparing for hurricane season, which has just begun. And boy, the storms seem to get a little bit more intense these days, and it's got some people like really paying attention now.
Yeah, absolutely. 2017 was really an unprecedented year with hurricanes Harvey and then Irma in the Caribbean and then Irma in Florida, Hurricane Maria in the Caribbean, and then we don't talk about it in this context, but that was followed immediately by the mass shooting in Las Vegas and then record-breaking wildfires in California. So it's just been a real increase in both the scope and intensity of these extreme weather events. And we think that that is very likely the trend we will continue to see.
And you're talking about this upcoming year, possible that could happen again. It's always possible, I guess.
It is. The hurricane season forecast for 2018 is that the likelihood is that we will see an average to above average season. But as I tell folks all the time, all it takes is one run. And if that one makes landfall and it's in your area, it's going to be a disastrous period. And so it's really important for everyone who could be impacted to prepare.
There's no question now that because we're all aware through social media and watching the news, because they're quite prominent horrible catastrophes, that if there's a hurricane predicted, even the possibility thereof, people perk up their ears like hungry dogs all of a sudden, and it's like, uh-oh, like we better prepare. They're not kidding.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true, and you know, I particularly think in Boston and the New England area, it's important for folks to realize that as we start to see climate adaptation and evidence of sea level rise, that New England isn't really all that different from the Gulf Coast, right? It's a lot of flat land. A lot of eastern New England is low lying, and so the risk for coastal flooding increases along with these changes to the sea level that we've been seeing. And so when you get a bad coastal storm with heavy rainfall in New England, you're really going to be dealing with you know, what we call water coming from both sides.
Yeah.
And so I think that I think it's important for folks to renew their attention, and the beginning of hurricane season on June 1st provides an opportunity for folks just to take a moment to get prepared.
It makes sense, because when one is forecast or there's a possibility thereof, and then you have all your European models and American models and all that kind of stuff, by the time it's issued that, yeah, this is going to hit within 2-3 days, the possibility is great, then everybody's running to the stores, and then you're behind all of a sudden. If you don't prepare, then you got to stand in line for things, or they're out of generators, et cetera.
That's exactly right. I think it's important to recognize that it's everyone, whether you're an individual or a family or a business or a nonprofit, the fact is we all have some responsibility for being ready and being prepared for disasters. And there are actual very concrete steps that every individual, every family can take, and that frankly will make them more prepared, and it will also make the community as a whole more prepared. And no disaster is a good disaster, but our ability to get through disaster and get to the other side is really a function of how ready we are.
Yeah, no question about it. And as you said, you don't have to live right on the coast anymore to feel the effects of not only flooding, but water damage. When the ground gets saturated, that can seep into your foundation quite prominently, even if you're not on the coast. And here in the New England area, as you mentioned, every single storm that we've had, whether it be hurricane or tropical storm or less, there were breach of seawalls every single time.
That's right. I mean, it's a Category 2 or more when it hits the New England area really causes deadly and destructive impact,
right,
in part because of the geography that you've described, and in part because of the power of those storms. And unlike the winter blizzards and nor'easters that we see, which also cause flood and wind damage, and Lord knows we saw 4 and 3 weeks this past winter, the conditions in which hurricanes occur can cause much more significant damage because of the way the water flows and the speed at which the wind blows. There's things that folks can do to be prepared. And what we recommend everybody do is three very concrete things. So first of all is be informed, right? Get in the habit now of checking with your media outlets on a regular basis, using social media, The Facebook site is fantastic. The Facebook's crisis response site, and particularly their community help. So for folks who are on Facebook, that is a great way to stay connected, connecting with local media channels. You can download applications to your iOS or Android devices from the Red Cross, the National Weather Service, FEMA, the state government. Many governments also have apps, and those help people understand what to do before a storm hits, what to do during, and then what to do after. And I got to tell you, these are really, really handy tools. They don't take up a lot of real estate on your phone, and I think I've just seen so many people who have them and have said to me, man, I'm really glad I had that because it helped me find a shelter, helped me figure out what I had to do next, and gave me information I didn't otherwise have. And so being informed is the first step. The other thing is planning ahead. We suggest to folks that they have enough resources to get through the first 3 days. So that's food, water, medication, chargers for your phone, portable power, battery-powered radios. People sort of roll their eyes sometimes at that, but you're right. You know, when the power goes out, and it does, and it will, so many of the tools of modern life we depend on, like our phones, those are done in about 8 to 12 hours. And so if you don't have portable power and you don't have the way to communicate without a mobile phone working, you're going to find yourself, really at a disadvantage. And mm-hmm. So I think that being prepared, literally having a kit, a duffel bag with those things in it, some clothes, your meds, I think that's really critical. And then last is taking action. So that is, you know, heeding the warnings of local officials when they order evacuations. Go, absolutely go. Follow the direction of official local and state emergency managers. It's critical to get that authoritative information. And before a storm strikes, folks can volunteer in their communities, whether it's with the American Red Cross, other volunteer organizations. But I think that ability to stay connected and be connected is really critical. So as long as folks make the effort now to be informed, plan ahead, and take action, I think you're going to find that with any disaster, blizzard, hurricane, earthquake, that it becomes a less traumatic event because you're better prepared to cope. Mm-hmm.
And what is the website that one can visit to get all this information?
So I always encourage folks to go to www.redcross.org. Mm-hmm. And I would also encourage folks to go to www.ready.gov, which is the national readiness site. It has all kinds of information on it about being informed, planning ahead, and taking action, and links to the Red Cross website and the National Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster website. So I think redcross.org and ready.gov, great places to start.
Very quickly, I wanted to say that the Red Cross is probably the most prominent group of volunteers and professionals that save lives and across the world, and certainly for our nation. And thank you and everybody for that incredible organization. When things happen, they snap together and they are there, and much appreciated. Thank you so much for your time today, Brad.
Thank you, Ron, and I appreciate all of the volunteers in the New England area who make it the Red Cross. It's our Red Cross, and it's America's Red Cross, and New England's a critical part of that. So thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Lovely. Lovely man. He's lovely. He's just lovely. I know how to put it. He's lovely. He's just lovely. Okay, kids. Out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. After the show has concluded, we do ask you to participate in a short survey. Should take no more than 1 minute. Please hang on until after the closing theme. Thank you so much for your patronage. Your opinions are valuable to us. In 600 words or less, please indicate after this question, please indicate your response by pressing the star key on your phone. If you're not listening on a phone, then just say okay. Here's the question. Did you enjoy today's show?
It was unbelievably painful.
If we were to ask future survey questions at the conclusion of this show, would you actually respond?
Whatever.
Okay. Thank you for your participation. This survey has been recorded for training purposes.